Missy, how did you first get interested in performing Irish music?
Well, my grandmother was from Cork, so I grew up with a lot of Irish culture, and my mom was very much into Irish music. And I started playing some Irish music when I was in Detroit. That's where I'm from, actually. And when I came out to Los Angeles, I met a guy named Mike Flanagan, and I said, "Surely you're Irish. Let's start an Irish band together." So we did.
That is such a great name for your Irish band, too, Paddy's Pig. Where'd that come from?
Thank you. You know, it's actually, it's an Irish saying. People will look at, you know, my grandmother used to look at me or look at my mother and say, "Oh, you look as Irish as Paddy's Pig." And it just means you look very Irish, because I'm very freckly. You know, I have light skin, and I'm very freckly, and people with red hair often, they say, you know, it's just an expression. Although, when we released the last record, it was kind of interesting because there were a few Irish people that seemed somewhat offended by it. And then I kind of did a little, you know, did a little research about it, because obviously we know a lot of Irish people, and they were kind of laughing and saying, "Oh, it's not offensive." But I guess it originally came from some kind of expression about pigs living, you know, that the Irish were so dirty that pigs were living in their kitchen or something like that. So something very silly.
Oh, goodness.
I know. But it's few and far between that it's offensive, I find. But every now and then there's, you know, it's just one, maybe usually a much older person that kind of remembers the origin of the expression. But I'm truly convinced that my grandmother meant it as an endearment. So,
quite honestly, I don't think it's offensive at all. And I'm Irish on both sides.
But... Oh, see? Good. I always love to hear that from another Irish person, you know?
A female lead vocalist in an Irish band, especially singing songs like Mick McGuire, is kind of unusual.
It is unusual, and it's funny because I feel sometimes like in the Irish music scene, it's a little bit of a boys' club going on for sure. So I always feel like I really have to kind of aspire, you know, and really do a good job with those songs and that storytelling. I mean, fortunately, I have a pretty low voice, and I can give it a little gruffness, and I kind of bring a different quality to it. But usually, I get by with it.
So be easy, I'm afraid, when you're drinking with me. I'm a body you don't meet every day.
Where do you as an actor put yourself in that place when you sing songs like Mick McGuire, who's having mother-in-law problems?
You know, I've always been kind of good at that. I don't know. I feel like, you know, I've always been a writer, and I've often written from a male perspective. And I don't know why that is, but my whole life I've kind of always enjoyed writing from a male perspective. So it's not hard for me to kind of put myself in those shoes, you know? Being a musician and kind of growing up around mostly males, like musicians, you know, obviously some female musicians as well, but mostly male musicians, I think I'm able to kind of understand a bit. Put myself in their shoes.
Oh, my name is Mick McGuire, and I'll quickly tell to you of a young girl I admired, one Katie Donahue. She was fair and fat and 40, and believe me when I say, whenever I'd come up to the door, you could hear her mother say, "Johnny, get up on the fire, get up and give your man a seat. Can't you see it's Mick McGuire and his court, your sister Kate?"
Let's look at some of the original material on your most recent CD, Do Your Worst, like the title cut, I believe, that you wrote with Mike Flanagan.
Yes.
Tell me about creating that, would you?
I sure will. Basically, that song came from when my grandmother was very superstitious, and I have what's called pitchfork veins. My veins, particularly on my right vein, they look very much like pitchforks. And my grandmother thought for sure that was a sign that I could be a devil baby. She was very concerned, and she used to tell my mother, you know, you better keep an eye on that one. So it just became like this running joke that I have these pitchfork veins and that I could be a devil baby. So kind of the idea of the song just came from, you know, that superstition that, you know, this person can't get the devil out of them because, you know, they were born with these pitchfork veins. And as hard as they try, they just can't get the devil out of them. So, you know, it came from a true story, and we kind of made another story from it.
When I was barely a boy, they noticed my wrists, and clear as day, my pitchfork veins. And before too long, sure, I was talking in tongues, but it weren't me parents got instead so cruel.
It sounds like you have a really good time, too, on Drink the Whole Pub. Would you tell me about creating that one?
Oh, yeah. You know, I always like to say on that song, our drummer actually wrote that song with Mike Flanagan. It was his idea with the song, and he and Mike kind of finished it together. But I always laugh because he's the only member of our band who's not actually Irish in origin. He's Sicilian. So I always think it's very funny that the Sicilian member of our band wrote that song, you know. But he loved the idea of, you know, the bartender and the person kind of, you know, the bartender trying to console the person, you know, and then Mike and I playing those roles, because Mike and I do tend to play off each other a lot, you know, as entertainers. We have a lot of sparring we do on stage and a lot of, so it really fit kind of what we already do.
Good morning, Flanagan. Strengthen your plan again. I've seen you this early, man. Never this early, man.
Good morning, Gibson, my good friend and governor. Around for my sweetheart who's found a new lover.
Whiskey for breakfast, it just ain't right.
But if I ain't been to sleep yet, it's still last night.
Drink the whole pub to forget about you.